The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. Don't talk in my backswing.
Yeah, say it again. You gotta say it again.
Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. Just kidding, Coop. Just kidding, Coop.
I hope so. That hurt.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
This is going to be a heavy one.
This is a...
Yeah, this is going to be a heavy one. Honestly, though, seriously.
Yeah, it honestly is.
This is a special report. It's our first Crime Corner special report.
Breaking news. This audio is going out. We just recorded this just now. And what can we say? It's the Marcellus Williams case. So everyone must, anyone in the true crime community, such a weird thing.
Yeah.
Anyone who's super into murder community has been knowing about this, talking about this, debating about this case for a very long time. This is a case that Innocence Project has been involved, all that kind of petition, signatures, everything.
Speaking of which, I actually pulled up the entry for Marcellus Williams on the Innocence Project website.
Oh, nice.
If you want, we can open up with some of that.
Okay.
Just to give some people a little bit of backstory.
I have no idea who it is.
Yeah, they don't know anything
about
it.
And I'm huge in the crime.
Yeah, there's no red herring here. We are doing this episode because Marcellus was executed.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
As of recording this episode yesterday. Well, in 8 minutes, it will be exactly 24 hours ago.
Exactly 24 hours ago.
Whoa.
He was executed. And again, highly debated. A lot of people, many people believe that he was innocent.
Oh, shit.
The only thing we can do is kind of lay out the facts of what we know. And we're not saying we know everything from the courtroom, whatever. All we can do is lay out the facts and you guys can decide, debate.
Yeah.
Either way.
Do you think he was innocent?
We'll get into it.
Yeah,
but I don't know about innocent, but it's real fucked up.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a sad situation yesterday for the state of Missouri. Go fuck yourself. And then also just justice in general. I don't know if he was innocent, but I don't know if he did it. And if you're asking any of those questions,
Probably shouldn't kill someone,
right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of basically
That's the vibe. Okay.
Yeah.
We're not coming to you as most podcasts have or articles or whatever, starting out with innocent man wrongfully accused and put to death, right? We are talking about this case because some really fucked up things happen and we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't know, that makes it fucked up.
Gag ball, but rape.
No rape.
No.
No rape, man.
Oh.
No, and I mean,
sorry to inform you that the favorite, your
There's
favorite
no gag
type
ball?
Of case is not happening today.
No gag ball during the crime, possibly over the course of 20 years in prison. I'm sure it popped up once or twice.
Because so, I looked him up and he had a gag ball in here.
No, that's Marcellus Wallace. That's Marcellus Wallace. Joel.
And why'd you do that? Because it is going to take everything in Coop and I to not accidentally say Marcellus Wallace while reading this.
Just
so,
saying that before
you,
the show.
Thank you.
I had to go back and, retype Williams instead of Wallace so many times while I was writing this.
Seriously.
So on the Innocence Project website, it's actually kind of sad when you look at it because it used to be a countdown timer and now the timer is just all zeros because like
all
we said,
fucking,
the execution went through yesterday.
It's sad, dude.
But it says, Marcellus Williams is scheduled for execution in Missouri on September 24th, even though there is no reliable evidence proving that he committed the crime for which he was sentenced to death. And again, that's one of the things that I think is debatable, but regardless, this does seem like a miscarriage of justice.
Are we going to talk about the evidence that they do have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
buddy,
we'll be going over.
I'm already juiced up.
Buddy.
This is the here's the
yeah,
real
yeah.
man.
Yeah, we're right going here. Into it. Here he is.
Handsome boy.
There's a lot of things about this case that you're going to be like, "What the fuck?"
We're wading into some real murky waters here. So
one of the titles I was thinking about was Crackhead on Crackhead Crime, which is not right. But
it works real well.
Real fucked up. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So it goes on to say, the state destroyed or corrupted the evidence that could conclusively prove his innocence, and the available DNA and other forensic crime scene evidence does not match him. There is far too much uncertainty in this case to allow Mr. Williams to be executed, particularly when the victim's family believes life without parole is the appropriate sentence. So that's what
Wait.
We're...
Sorry, that I didn't... Dude, fuck off. That I didn't know. Because I thought his family was the one that was pushing for him.
There were members of Felicia Gale's family that were pushing... They were specifically pushing against the death penalty. Not necessarily proclaiming his innocence, but pushing against the death penalty, which a lot of people were in this case. And that's really, to me, the biggest point of contention in all this is whether or not he deserved the death penalty. If there was enough conclusive evidence to put him to death. Which, yeah, I'm with you on that one. I don't think that there was enough.
Was there enough for him to be in jail?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so
we
better get into it because Joel is asking, he doesn't think we're going to do a case today. He is wondering if we're going to tell him what the fuck is going on, and I think we better because he's about to piss
his
pants.
I'll jump right into it. So in this one, we're actually going to start off with the victim. And again, no red herrings or twists, really. Felicia Gale was born in Rockford, Illinois on February 6th, 1956.
I'm sorry, it's Illinois?
I think I've just been around too many people that are actually from there to say I used to say Illinois until I dated a girl from Chicago.
Okay. Ross says Illinois? And it fucking pisses me off
every
time.
Illinois.
You are an angel for sticking with him when he does stuff
like
that.
Oh, the amount of times I've heard that. Go ahead, Coop.
Known as Leisha to her friends and family, Felicia was the second oldest in a family of 8 children. Felicia went to Bloom Grade School before going on to attend Guilford High School, where she wrote for the school newspaper, along with being a member of the student council. So, yeah, that's her right here. And she was one of those people that there is not a single person you can find that has a bad word to say about her.
No.
After high school, Felicia went on to study at the University of Illinois, where she got her degree in journalism. Following her graduation, she landed a position at St. Louis Post-Dispatch as a reporter in 1981. She worked for the newspaper for a number of years before shifting her focus purely to philanthropy and full-time volunteer work in 1992. She became a social worker, and her kindness and generosity was well known throughout her community, making her eventual murder all the more shocking. And it really is a bummer when you hear about something this brutal happening to somebody like that. I mean, it sucks for everybody.
Yeah.
But somebody like this, it just seems worse.
Yes. On August 11th, 1998, did we say she used to be a crime reporter?
Oh, that part.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she worked for, at the St. Louis Post Dispatch. She was actually a crime reporter.
I read one of her, I think it was one of her articles about a local gas station, like watering down their gasoline with ethanol or alcohol.
Yeah. So she was like investigative reporter, but mainly like reporting on crimes of all different kinds.
You live by the sword, you die by the sword, I guess. Oh, shit. That doesn't look good for us then.
Right. On August 11th, 1998, Felicia's husband, Dr. Daniel Pikus, had just finished work for the day and headed home to meet his wife for dinner. Felicia was at home preparing a meal.
Preparing to mail out
a number of handmade greeting cards she had been making for her family and friends, which was somewhat of a tradition for her. Felicia would make upwards of 300 greeting cards per year and send them out to loved ones for birthdays and holidays, with each card being custom made for the recipient. What the fuck?
I can hardly be bothered to go to the store and buy a greeting card for somebody.
Oh, and I don't do it.
Like 300 a year?
Anybody who knows me, family or otherwise, it's like, I'm too busy for your, you know, birthday, anniversary. I'm sorry. Grow up.
Oh, you had a baby. No, big fucking deal.
Basically, grow up. Do you know what I mean? Grow up. What are we, five? Happy birthday. No. Maybe a text. Anyway.
Maybe. If you're real close with him, a text.
He was a radiologist?
Yes.
Doctor, which is probably, not for nothing, but that's probably why she pivoted into nonprofit work.
She had the opening for it.
She had the privilege to do so, and she did, which is great. But I think I was talking to my mom about it. I was like, yeah, she was retired at 42. My mom's like, what? What are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know. Rich husband. I don't know. But she did use it for good.
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
Upon arriving home, Daniel was faced with a horrific sight. His wife of 18 years was lying dead on the floor. She had been stabbed multiple times by an unknown assailant. The kitchen knife used by the attacker was still lodged in her neck. Daniel called 911, but sadly, Felicia had already passed away from her injuries. According to investigators, now, if this is a normal case that we usually do, I'd be looking at fucking Mr. Pikus, right?
Oh, for sure.
I'd be looking at the husband who walked in and found with his own kitchen knife in his wife's neck. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I'm still not convinced.
Right.
It could still be him.
According to investigators, Felicia had just taken a shower and was in the process of getting dressed when a sound drew her attention to the front door. While Felicia was making her way downstairs, she came face to face with a home intruder, a burglar, if you will.
No. Burglar cut.
Upon being discovered, the burglar viciously attacked Felicia with a large kitchen knife. During the ensuing struggle, Felicia was stabbed over 40 times, seven of which were fatal wounds. When police arrived, the murder weapon was still protruding from the 42-year-old woman's neck.
Good Lord.
This was broad daylight, by the way. Mm-hmm. So this was like after a morning run in a gated, nice community. This happens? So weird.
Seems like a lot of bad things are happening in gated communities around here.
Yeah.
Hungary.
And listen, some of them are the victim's fault. Not her. But go ahead. I'm sorry, but if on a fucking Wednesday, you get your car towed at 2:45 in the afternoon, you are a fucking loser, and I love you.
Hey, you know what? Fuck you.
Go put that hat in the dishwasher, you fuck. Let's go. Okay. So, listen, gated communities, again, Gary knows this. There's an eerie feeling around there. It's almost like they don't want you there. It's a, gated communities, by the way, I think they're weird. Like, anyone, honestly, that chooses to live in a gated community, there's something fucking up, I think.
The thing that's always struck me that's strange about them is, okay, so it will stop the occasional random car from driving through your neighborhood, but that gate at the front isn't stopping anybody on foot or anybody that's willing to just wait at the gate for a minute or two until a resident drives through.
Or it really shows, like, that gate being there, and Gary knows this because he probably robbed at least one or two houses when he was there, but... like
a fancy gate means
everyone in there is comfortable. Everyone in there believes that nothing's going to happen to them. And everyone in there is leaving their doors open. They're not thinking anything is going to happen to them. So if you can get in there, you've got a bunch of sitting ducks.
Oh, and
that's what it says to me.
With the amount of people that they have going in and out of those places to do work, like, you know, yard work or housework or anything like that, I've driven
nothing.
Into
it's a tiny
so
bit
of,
a deterrent. Yeah. But, you know?
I think it's
super easy to get in.
Like, yes. If I was a burglar cut, I would pick a gated community to rob from because you know they got money.
Can I get that, cut. Like, stained? It looks
tattooed?
Like a stained. No, it looks like a stained glass, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Can I get that, like, behind me? Like a
yes.
stained glass?
Yes. Okay.
We
can
find
ahead.
Somebody that can make that.
Thank you.
But yeah, major false sense of security in a gated community.
Yes.
It really just. Possibly keeps out solicitors and also false sense of security.
True, huh?
I mean, you're going to be less likely to be keeping an eye out for things because you think that big, strong wall and gate are going to keep you safe.
That's what I mean.
Learned that the hard way in Game of Thrones. The walls aren't always going to keep you safe.
You better watch it with that. That'll be the first and last.
Yeah.
Okay.
Investigators were able to recover a fair amount of forensic data from the crime scene. Bloody footprints were discovered at the scene that were determined to have been left by the killer. Hair samples were also recovered from Gail's clothing, as well as a carpet near the entrance of the home. Apparently, from what I can understand, the carpet that she was found dead on had been recently cleaned, so it actually worked out really well that they were able to collect hair samples from it that weren't just obviously contaminated by, you know, her
right.
husband or something like that.
Right. I think it was a hair, head hair, and a pubic hair.
And a pube. So the killer was a hairy boy. Obviously didn't have manscape.
Nobody likes to find just a lone pube laying on it. You know, yeah, but go ahead.
They show up in the weirdest places, too.
Yeah.
Blood and skin were found underneath Felicia's fingernails, which was likely from Felicia scratching her assailant during the attack. Lastly, bloody fingerprints were discovered at the scene that did not match Felicia or her husband. And that's one of the things that we're going to get into later is that's one of the strangest pieces of evidence or the piece that I have an issue with is the fingerprints or how they were handled.
And where they are. Yeah.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. During the investigation, police noted that Felicia's murder shared some similarities with a separate case that they had been working on. Just 3 weeks before the murder of Felicia Gale, another woman named Debbie McLean had been murdered only a few miles away. Do you want to make any diehard jokes, Joel?
No.
Okay. Like Felicia, Debbie had been murdered during a daytime home invasion with a knife taken from her own kitchen. Most interesting of all, both women were found with the murder weapon still stuck in their necks. Police began to suspect Ooh. They may be dealing with a serial killer.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We've done a case where they left the... Oh, no. We've had a couple where the knife was still in
knife
there.
Knife was still in there, but... One other one, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe the lady whose death was ruled a
suicide when she was stabbed in the back of the head five times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she still had the knife in her chest when
yes.
When her husband showed up.
Yes.
Oh, that's the one where he was like, oh, actually, the knife is still there. It's like a huge kitchen knife.
Oh, wait. Can you do CPR? Do I have to? That fucking.
Can I just wait till the cops get here and let them do it? With the physical evidence gathered from the scene, police now had to find a suspect to match it to. A few weeks later, they found just the suspect they were looking for, a 29-year-old career criminal named Marcellus Williams. Now, one of my biggest complaints about a decent amount of situations where people are trying to get like actual justice for someone, try to prove somebody's innocent, is even regardless of the things that they had done before, they try to portray them like they were an angel without, they never did anything wrong, such a good person, loved by their family, loved by their friends, leaving out the fact that that they had had like a fully criminal lifestyle before that.
Right.
Despite the fact of him being a career criminal, that doesn't change the facts of the case. It just irks me that people would try to act like, you know, somebody in that situation is perfect just because they're wrongly accused.
Right. I actually think his criminal past works towards his innocence, because in his criminal past, he had an MO. He had a thing that he did, right?
What did he do?
Holding up, he held up donut shops, Wendy's at gunpoint to get cash and food. Anytime
he had a gun.
He had a gun, and he would hold up businesses, smaller businesses, whatever, late at night. The last one, the donut shop, when they found him, he had cash and two donuts. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not like trying to kill anybody. He needs fucking money. He's a drug addict. So to me, I think his criminal past actually would be like, this is not his thing. Do you know what I mean? People don't just out of nowhere, right?
No, that's a really good point. Why would he change up his MO all of a sudden?
And in the middle too, because I don't know if you go in, do you go into those two robberies that put him in jail?
No.
Okay.
We go over it briefly, but
yeah,
not in detail.
I think a couple months before the murder and then a couple months after, bookended these two types of robberies that he did, which was like gunpoint, small business, don't hurt anybody, get some fucking money, right?
Yeah.
Robbing donut shops is a gateway drug to a murder.
But if,
also not very smart, considering
why
how
would
often
you
cops
do,
are there.
Like, hold up a Wendy's or something.
And then go kill somebody?
Then stab someone 40 times, then hold up a donut shop and grab a couple donuts, not hurting anyone. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The way that their book ended is crazy. But I think it's interesting to... It's a good thing to note right here. We should say that those two robberies put him in jail already for 50 years. So was in jail serving a 50-year sentence at the time of them looking for this murder, right?
Yeah.
How perfect is it? Someone just in there already, dude. Someone
just tack
is
it on.
In there already.
Yeah. Saves a few steps, saves some work, not as much
and
investigation.
And a lot of people that are not so convinced of his innocence, that's something to your point that they bring up. Not a great guy, whatever. I believe, like, if you are looking at justice of things, for example, George Floyd, I think true, like, evolution of just looking at justice, two things can be true, that this guy is not a great guy and he shouldn't have died.
Yeah.
Right? So I would love for our brains to work in a way that's like, hey, man, like, no, he wasn't great, but no, he shouldn't have died. Right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what a lot of people get hung up on here, to your point.
Mm. Yeah. Well, like, also, the issue with that is if you are just, you know, throwing another charge at somebody that's already facing all these charges, what's happening is the person that is actually responsible, like the person that you could definitively prove was responsible for it, is gone without getting punished for the crime. They're
exactly
still
right.
out on the streets. They could possibly offend again.
Exactly.
So,
right.
Like you were saying, even if they do have a bad track record, they still just charge them with the crimes that they did. Don't try to add anything on top.
Right. And again, if you're going to add something on top, like add life, okay, you were doing 50, now you're doing life. But you're doing 50, now we're going to kill you? That's crazy.
Yeah.
But you got to kill people that are trying to expose your mistakes.
When you're fudging the numbers
just
a little
saying,
bit.
Just saying. So on August 31st, 1998, Williams was arrested for armed robbery, like we said, and placed in the St. Louis City workhouse to await his trial. While in jail.
What year?
98.
So this is 98. So this was all a span of a couple months and within that year, which is like.
It's like a year
first
after.
First robbery.
Don't you dare.
I thought it was 96. Was it 97?
97. Yeah, 97 was a good year.
It was a good year.
Maybe he was influenced by some badass.
Do you remember when we got Coop? To admit it?
He did, yeah. We got him.
I don't believe it.
I know, and he'll never do it again. Even if we show, if we roll back the tape, he'll go,
CGI.
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
That wasn't me.
Yeah, I saw Donald Trump riding a motorcycle away from his assassination the other day. I think that you can fake me saying something.
Let's do a whole episode with AI Coop. He'll be a total weirdo, right?
Yeah, I would get it messed up. There'd just be a kid with Down syndrome sitting over there.
Yeah. We put in the wrong keywords, right?
Or the right ones.
So it's all within this year that's like, I think it was a Wendy's. Sorry, you guys are going to have to fact check me. Like, Wendy's at gunpoint, murder, donut shop, and then he was picked up. Mm. So now he's in jail serving, by the way, the 50-year sentence.
So, well,
in that same year.
At this point, when the murder initially occurred, he was in a workhouse awaiting trial, and that was for the first armed robbery, wasn't it?
He was out when the murder occurred.
Oh, and then he went.
So then he got picked up because they're looking for somebody. Whatever. It was a really long time before anyone came forward to implicate him. So he was just picked up on his robbery charges, right?
He's already in jail.
And now he's in jail once they're starting to, you know, the family's pushing for it. This gated community is like, what the fuck? How have you not found anyone? Like, find someone. And they're like, okay, let's find someone, right? Put out a reward, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're saying this workhouse is he's able to get out.
Well, I think that's what a workhouse is where you can do like a work furlough or something like that. That I can't guarantee that's the case.
Waiting for his trial on the robbery? Okay, possibly.
Then but he caught another charge after that one. So I thought that maybe he was still...
So you're saying while he's in... That's the thing.
I think
he went to either work... you know, workhouse or furlough or whatever for these two robberies. I don't think he was going back out robbing, okay, right? So this is already for the second one that happened after the murder. Like okay, I said, there's two bookends of gunpoint robberies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Murder happening in between. Now he's in on the two robberies and this happened, but it's all within spans of months, right?
Yeah, because the murder occurred on what, the 15th
of August, 11th,
right? And on August 31st, that's when he was arrested. Okay, so yeah,
so now he's in, and maybe he is in the workhouse and waiting trial, but
yeah, because that's where he met Henry Cole
during that time. He was
okay,
out.
I see what you're saying.
He was loud. He was doing drugs. He was doing some bad shit, right?
Yeah. Donuts.
He was living life, hanging with his girlfriend, you know. Now he's not, right? So while in jail, Williams met up with a fellow inmate named Henry Cole. So I think this was his either cellmate or they were just watching TV or something. After a few conversations, the two men realized they were distant relatives through marriage. Cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was something along the lines of, it was like one of, I think it was one of William's nephews was like married to somebody in Henry Cole's family or something like that. It was a distant relation, but they found out that they were tenuously related.
Cousins, but like the kind that's like 2-3, you know.
The kind that's okay to kiss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So they did. No. Williams and Cole soon became friends and began passing time together, having long conversations and watching television. One day, while Williams and Cole were watching the news, a report came on regarding the murder of Felicia Gale. Her family was offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of her murderer. As the two men watched the news report, Williams turned to Cole and made a confession. He was the one that murdered Felicia Gale. And this is according to Henry Cole, a jailhouse snitch. And you know how I feel about them. Williams took a bus. So according to Henry, when he's saying what Williams said to him, he said that Williams told him he took a bus to the gated neighborhood in which Felicia Gale lived. Once there, he broke into the home, took a knife from the kitchen, and murdered Felicia. After killing Felicia, Williams stole a few valuables and fled the scene.
And it's, keep it in mind that he specifically said that Marcellus Williams took a bus to the scene of the crime and then would have also had to take a bus to leave the scene of the crime.
Yes.
So just keep that in mind for a minute. As the old saying goes, there is no honor among thieves. Henry Cole began taking notes detailing Marcellus Williams' confession, and upon his release on June 4th, 1999, Cole went straight to the police with the information in hopes of cashing in on the $10,000 bounty. And it really was, wow, as soon as he got out, straight to the police station, like, you guys aren't going to believe what I heard. And he, yes, had allegedly taken notes about all this stuff.
Yes, at the time he said it was so important when he heard it that he took notes.
After nearly a year with no breakthroughs, the police finally had a lead to follow that would hopefully result in the capture of Felicia Gale's murderer. Along with the notes he had taken, Henry Cole also pointed police towards a woman named Laura Asaro. She and Williams had been dating around the time of the murder, and Cole believed she would have details about the case. So with the new information in hand, police set out to follow their newfound lead.
I also heard that Henry Cole had a call with Laura in jail.
Really?
Don't know her. Doesn't really know her. They probably like are in a little bit of the same circles, but interesting that he would call her.
It'd be kind of strange if he was close enough with her to be able to get in contact with her, but wasn't aware that her boyfriend was an extended family member.
Yeah, I mean, so if they're running strange, in the
same,
right,
circles.
Yeah.
It is kind of strange.
But cool, man. You know, just connecting with people.
These
from the streets, right?
Ain't it a small world?
Yeah, I've been looking up every name you've been saying, and they're not. I can't find any pictures of these people.
You can't find Laura Asaro?
I just searched her name, and it's
can
just,
you put, if you put Marcellus Williams?
I did Henry Cole, Laura Asaro, and there's just Marcellus Williams,
really,
pictures. Well, there's somebody here. Here, I'll just show what the search brought up.
And that ain't her.
No, nope, yeah, definitely not her. From the sounds of it, you could bring up a picture of Tyrone Biggums from the Chappelle Show.
Put Marcellus Williams instead of Henry Cole.
Here, sorry.
L-L-U-S?
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, strange that Henry Cole somehow has a connection to this Laura lady without knowing even who Marcellus was at the time, allegedly.
Right. Crazy. Just
interesting and notable, in my opinion.
Same pictures. Is it this lady?
Nope, definitely not her. She was all a tweaker, right. So use your imagination.
There you go.
Yeah, they're like hiding the photos for now because it's like new or something.
No, it was settled quite a while ago.
Weird.
It's just the execution happened recently. Well, Laura Asaro wasn't exactly an upstanding citizen. Like Henry Cole and Marcellus Williams, Asaro had a long history of petty crimes as well as outstanding warrants for her arrest. Police used these warrants as leverage to get information on her ex-boyfriend, and in return for helping her with her warrants, Laura gave police all of the information she had on Marcellus Williams. So both Laura and Henry Cole are what are known as incentivized informants.
Yes.
That means you'll get something in return for information. From my experience, anytime you incentivize something, you're kind of incentivizing the wrong behavior.
You're tampering.
You're opening yourself up to, you know, snake oil salesmen, essentially.
Sorry to be so brash, but if you incentivize a crackhead with money, they will fucking tell you anything.
It's a whole lot easier to make up a story than it is to steal a catalytic converter.
Absolutely. And Laura had actually been an informant for the police for a while, even before this. And I think it's important to note that informants that are working with the police aren't like upstanding citizens, right? They're people that the police know they can, like, they're going to let them do a couple of bad things as long as they give them information and keep it fucking chill. But they get, in exchange for kind of working with the police, they get to kind of get away with some stuff.
Yeah.
And keep continuing to be, they need them kind of in ear to the crack rock, right?
They gotta keep living like a criminal or else they lose their, exactly, credibility. So yeah, go ahead and smoke some crack, sell some crack,
so I think
do some petty crimes and Just tell us what you do.
It's weird. They should be using whatever the informant tells them to build the case. An informant's testimony, I don't think, should ever be the case, right? Because it's going to be coming from a pretty not so credible source. But anyway.
Any case based purely on witness testimony and hearsay, just to me, it's not a real case. Like, even people that have, like, nothing, they're not trying to be malicious at all, they'll misremember things. So if you incentivize somebody with money, especially $10,000 for somebody that has a drug problem, it's pretty easy to make up a story.
Yes. Laura was more than happy to give police all of the information they wanted on Marcellus Williams. She, too, told investigators that William had confessed to killing Felicia Gale. Unlike Henry Cole's version of events, Laura claimed that Williams had driven himself to the scene of the crime, as opposed to taking a bus. So that was different. The discrepancy was brushed aside by investigators. We can work with that later. Laura Saro told investigators that she had seen scratch marks on the face and neck of Marcellus Williams in the days following the murder. She also claimed to have witnessed Williams trading a stolen laptop for drugs. When police questioned the drug dealer, he admitted that he had accepted the laptop as collateral for a loan. When investigators checked the serial number on the laptop, it matched with the serial number on a laptop missing from Felicia's home. So a couple things that Laura said was Marcellus actually picked her up that day and was wearing a jacket, like a zip-up, full, like, winter jacket. And this was August in St. Louis, super hot. She thought that was weird. Mm-hmm. She said she ended up going, you know, looking in the trunk or backseat or something and found a woman's purse and a laptop and was like, what the fuck, you cheating on me? And he was like, no. I stole it from this lady and we're going to go, you know, sell it, whatever.
And at one point she claimed to have seen Felicia Gale's ID, yes, like her driver's license.
Yes, in the person was like, who is this?
Yeah. And I've heard that claim repeated from a couple different places. And the strange thing is the official story says that her ID was found at the house. So it couldn't have been in his car.
Right. With Laura Saro's testimony, police were able to secure a search warrant for Marcellus Williams' car. Now, this had been months after, but
close to a year, if not a little over a year.
Inside the glove box, they discovered a ruler and calculator from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, where Felicia worked, both of which belonged to Felicia Gale. So inside Marcellus Wallace... Not Marcellus Wallace.
I knew it was going to happen at some point.
Marcellus Williams' car was in his glove box, a ruler and calculator from Felicia's house.
Okay.
Doesn't look good,
yeah.
Also, he doesn't deny that he had the laptop, but he said Laura gave it to him.
Interesting.
So he's... Him being in possession of Felicia's laptop, he doesn't necessarily say didn't happen, but where he got it from in his version, Marcellus, is a lot different.
Mm-hmm. And
so from where I'm sitting right now, Laura's a little closer to the fucking murder than he is. But anyway.
And I think she gets a little bit closer once we dig a little more into the evidence.
Oh, shit. Smells like a setup.
Was that your St. Louis Dispatch voice? Extry.
There are a few notable things about Laura Asaro's testimony that raise a few questions. First is the discrepancy between her story and that of Henry Cole. Asaro claimed that Williams drove himself to the scene of the crime, while Cole said he took a bus. It should also be noted that when police searched the car, it had been over a year since the crime had taken place. And to make matters worse, guess who had been living in the car for the last few months?
Hmm.
Laura Asaro.
Oh.
Laura. the prostitute, by the way. Prostitute, drug addict, police informant. Just saying. Just saying.
So a real straight shooter.
It's okay, but we're just putting all the pieces together.
Yeah.
Just give it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The information, everybody can jump to the conclusions they want to jump to. Despite the story discrepancies, police believe they had enough evidence for a conviction, and on January 6, 2000, Marcellus Williams was indicted for the murder of Felicia Gale. At the time of the indictment, Williams was already serving a 50-year sentence for multiple other charges, including armed robbery. Now he was at risk of having the death sentence added to his life sentence. Which does seem like kind of a hat on a hat right there. He's already going to be in there for the next 50 years.
Yep. And that's what they thought too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Williams was put on trial for murder in June of 2001, nearly 2 years after the death of Felicia Gale. Almost 2 years to the day. I think he went to trial in like June. The case quickly came under scrutiny due to perceived bias in the jury selection, which consisted of 11 white jurors and only one black juror. Something that I thought was strange is during the jury selection process, they dismissed all postal workers, saying that they couldn't allow postal workers to be part of the jury because they were known to be disgruntled.
Liberal.
Is that what it was?
They said liberal. And by the way, they had one white postal worker on the jury.
they got rid of
this
all the other
postal
workers.
Missouri shit.
Despite the protests from the defense, the case was ultimately pushed forward. And that's a recurring theme.
Yeah. In addition to the controversial jury selection, the defense also requested additional time to run forensic tests. The motion was dismissed. And the trial continued without additional tests being performed. Even if the court had postponed the trial, it may not have had an effect due to the fact that a portion of the evidence had been lost during the 2 year investigation.
Lost, huh?
So that's what I was talking about with the fingerprints earlier, is even the police had seemingly conflicting stories about the fingerprints, which first of all, they somehow lost the fingerprints, the whatever
lost
evidence
the
they took, they lost that.
And in Henry Cole's account, he said that Williams said he wore gloves.
Which the police backed up in one situation saying, so when they found the stationery and stuff from the St. Louis dispatch, it had no fingerprints on it, no DNA whatsoever on it. Like it had been essentially cleaned, possibly cleaned. But either way, there was no evidence on it linking them to Marcellus Williams.
Right.
Somehow sat in the glove box of a car for a year that somebody was living in without being disturbed, which is strange. Mm-hmm. But then also the bloody prints at the scene were, as far as I know, they were fingerprints. They weren't like glove
yes,
marks or anything like that.
Yes, they were bloody fingerprints from what
holy shit.
It
so
says.
He took the gloves off for the murder and then put
to
them back on.
To wipe his hand across the thing.
Yeah, that also it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No. So during the trial, 22 witnesses gave testimony, including Henry Cole and Laura Asaro, which, by the way, were their biggest nails in the coffin, smoking guns, were a jailhouse informant and
a crackhead?
Look, a gal on the streets doing her thing. A gal on the streets doing her thing. That's all I'm going to say. In addition to their testimony, the court was presented with the remaining physical evidence, including the stolen items found in Williams' vehicle. In the end, Williams was found guilty of the murder of Felicia Gale and sentenced to death on August 27th, 2001. So this is his first, you're being put to death, August 27th, 2001. So we're now getting into everything that happens after that, appeals, stays, new governors, all of this stuff, Innocence Project, whatever. The other thing that they wouldn't let, like you were saying, into the first trial was testing on DNA that they had, touch DNA on the knife, fingerprints that they lost, the hair. They just said, we're not going to test it. We're just not going to test it.
It was like all of the DNA evidence was
I told you during this case, the amount of times you're going to say, what?
Yeah.
Me too. It's like, what? Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It was like none of the DNA evidence was properly tested. Technology wasn't as good back then as it is now, but it's not all that far off. And there were tests that they could have run at this point. For some reason, they wouldn't admit any of it in court. They wouldn't let the defense use it as evidence or even run additional tests on it. It was like every time they were trying to retry this case, even when they had support from within, like within the local law enforcement community or the local AG, governor, anything like that, for some reason it was really important. Like, no, we got to get this done. We got to push this through and get this case over with.
So I think it goes back to,
just seeing a photo of the pubic hair would be enough where you have a 50-50 chance that it's not a black
even
dude.
That's from looking at it, they could tell it wasn't, if that makes sense.
It was a redhead?
It was something where they could tell, but they couldn't test it. And it goes back to a precedent that Scalia actually set a very long time ago of you can't use DNA as exculpatory. Like, you can't use it to rule out. It has to only be, like, showing a person. So the DNA that they had couldn't say who it was. The only thing it could say is that it wasn't Marcellus. So if you think of DNA as like a credit card number, it will show maybe if it has just not enough DNA in there to test, it will show like three numbers or four numbers of your credit card. So they could say it's not yours, but they can't say whose credit card it is, right?
Yeah.
And so a long time ago in another fucked up case, Scalia set a precedent of not being able to use DNA to simply rule out. You can only use it if it shows that it was someone else definitively. Which is insane, right? Because basically you're saying it's not him. It's not him. But
Well, it's like
you can't use it just to say it's not him. You have to give another suspect, which is how a lot of people have gotten off, like with the Innocent Project or whatever, is because they were able to show who it actually was.
But it doesn't make wait.
Instead of just saying it wasn't him.
Is that because if you can't find out who it is exactly, it's not like strong enough evidence?
Yes, because
it's not a good test.
People wanted a suspect. They wanted justice and they got it. And a lot of this comes back to, you know, district attorneys are elected, right?
Yeah.
Governors are elected. Everybody involved is trying to give somebody the answer that they want at the expense of a guy that was spending 50 years in jail anyways, right?
Yeah.
So they're able to be like, hey, we found him, we got him.
And
we're not saying that that's what it is, but everything's pointing to them not wanting to say this guy possibly didn't do it.
Not wanting to lose their jobs.
Not wanting to say we messed up.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Something interesting, the attorney general that's there now was just on Citizen.
Oh, really?
Like a month ago. Yeah.
I think he was attorney in general, St. Louis?
In Missouri, yeah.
Yeah, this is during his tenure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he was on, the show, like, you know, because he's running again, or something like that. I just recognize his photos in the because I've been trying to search.
To his credit, whoever this is, though, to his credit, you'll see that they actually were trying to get him off as well.
Yeah. Oh, get him, not get him killed. Okay, cool.
Trying to get the death sentence thrown out.
Be interesting to talk to him.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
Okay.
We have a contact. We can contact him.
Crazy.
We might need to follow up.
I got a guy.
Might need to follow up on this case pretty soon.
Yes. So he was sentenced to death on August 27th, 2001. That was his first scheduled execution. For the next 20 years, Marcellus Williams was held on death row at the Potosi Correctional Center in Missouri. During this time in prison, he maintained his innocence and continued to appeal his case. His first execution date, scheduled in 2015, was delayed after his defense team presented new evidence that revealed the DNA on the knife didn't match with Williams. Like I said, it didn't match with him. It was a male, but it didn't match with him. But not good enough. Further testing showed the DNA belonged to a member of the prosecution, and his execution was rescheduled. What does that mean?
They ended up finding out that the DNA that they weren't able to identify, they traced it back to
someone from Death Records, because the Chronic 2001 just came out.
Exactly. So I can't believe you guessed it. That's crazy.
That should have been our fucking hype song.
oh yeah.
But
no, some of the DNA was traced back to
handling the evidence.
The handling rules are different now than they were back then, specifically because of these situations. After they take the initial tests, they don't require anybody. In some cases, they don't require people to wear gloves or any sort of protective gear when they're handling the evidence afterwards, since they already took samples once.
That's not a thing.
But yeah, apparently that's what ended up happening, is some of the prosecutor's DNA got on there, and that was one of the hits they got as somebody else's DNA, but then they traced it back to the prosecution.
Contamination.
But at the time, that's...
That again, makes it invalid or something?
Well, no, I just...
But to that point, there's not one piece of Marcellus...
There's still no Marcellus.
DNA
still,
or yeah. evidence at the scene at all.
Yeah.
And it seems like
it's two crackheads and a laptop. That's the only fucking thing, dude. Yeah. All right.
He was smart and took his poopy diver with him.
Two crackheads and a laptop.
Yeah, the only way you can get DNA, according to Joel, if you guys don't know.
All the DNA.
The only DNA
diaper.
That he will recognize is poop in a diaper.
Poop in
If you don't have that, send him to death. That's what Joel says.
Yeah.
The science has spoken.
Yep.
That being said, two crackheads and a laptop would be a great podcast title.
Or the title of this episode.
I was thinking of so many different ones, and I was like, I can't, dude. I gotta go serious with it.
Yeah, gotta be kind of tasteful.
Ruben's yelling something at the fucking screen. You know what I mean?
Oh, he always is.
He always is.
If he's
that's
not
how he watches
the
show.
He's yelling at the neighbors.
That's how he watches the show, just yelling at me the whole time.
As Williams awaited his new execution date, that's a rough sentence to laugh on the way into. As Williams awaited his new execution date, his case began to garner public attention, leading more and more people to believe that he was not the person responsible for Felicia's murder. The public outcry successfully swayed Governor Eric Greitens, I think that's how you, Greitens or Greitens,
mm-hmm.
Who issued a last-minute stay of execution and initiated a board of inquiry to look into any new evidence that may exonerate Marcellus Williams.
By the way, that was last minute. Like, he had already had his last meal.
That, the amount of...
In this first one that he pardoned,
the amount
granted
of
a stay.
Mental torture is
this
insane.
This guy is... Been through it. Went through it. For sure.
Those mock executions are a bitch. Also a war crime, by the way.
Yeah.
After five more years of investigation, the Board of Inquiry was unable to gather enough evidence to prove Williams was innocent. In 2023, the new governor of Missouri, Mike Parson, determined that it was time for the court to finally make a decision. In June of 2023, the Board of Inquiry was dissolved and the stay of execution was lifted. Williams was scheduled to be put to death on September 24th, 2024.
So I will say Mike Parsons put together a special, I don't know what you would even call it, unit, I guess, on this case of five retired federal court judges.
Yeah, that was the board of inquiry that he put together.
Board of inquiry, and was like, look through this, all of this, all the evidence, and come back to me with something. Tell me something that you've found. 6 years, they didn't fucking give him anything. Mm-hmm. Whether that was him not taking it, or I don't know, but it 6 years, five federal judges, retired, by the way, couldn't figure out in this case one way or the other. And so Parsons was like, hey, man, like, you have got, we have got to make a decision on this. And then went back to the courts, and the courts said, we're upholding this.
Yeah.
And the last date, yeah, was set for September 24th, 2024. Yesterday,
which was just yesterday, even there were three actual like Supreme Court justices that were also on his side, and it just happens they were and a half that I don't like.
Yeah, he had the Innocence Project, the Maine Innocence Project, he had the Missouri Local Innocence Project, he had thousands of signatures. He had people speaking out constantly about it. I even think Kim Kardashian fucking visited him.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he's already getting put to death.
Is that his final
meal?
That's
an even worse punishment.
Oh.
What? Joe, whoopsie-daisy, bud. Whoopsie-daisy.
Dude, that's what I'd ask for.
You know she's a lady in the sheets.
Yeah.
And a freak in the streets.
There's not enough time in the day to eat a
meal
that
big. Yeah, she can't be dealing with that shit.
But yeah, a lot of high profile people were chiming in, and the, what I thought was most interesting about the people that were weighing in on it and just saying that it needs to be looked into more. There's even people in law enforcement that were just saying like, look, he's guilty of these other things, but it's not convincing that he's guilty of this. Just look into it more, because this isn't fucking adding up. It's not like people were saying that he deserved to get off scot-free for everything that he had ever done.
No.
It was like, no, there's not enough evidence to prove that he did this. We can't kill him for this.
Yeah, give him life for now until we figure it out.
A retrial, like with DNA and with a good defense lawyer, which he didn't have. The prosecutor, current prosecutor, I guess, even came out and was like, hey, we made mistakes. We need to look at this again. And still no.
In the end, there was a ridiculous amount of people that were just saying no death penalty.
The people that were trying, that tried him the first time, said, hey, let's look at this again. It's
who the fuck said no? Like, who's the one that says no? The
actual person. Mike Parsons,
yeah,
and the judge,
yeah.
Who's the judge?
I don't have his name on here, but I mean,
I'll start looking it up.
Look it up.
But go ahead.
Hey, did you know that he had a good he had a boxing career, 5-0?
Really?
Marcellus Williams.
No, that's not him.
I think it's him when he was young. Look.
That
doesn't look like him, Joel.
They look like him.
That's not him, bro.
I thought you were going to say something else.
I would never say that. I think it's him.
I'm pretty sure that really didn't look like him.
There's so many of him boxing, though. I guess there's another Marcellus Williams that boxes?
Yep.
I mean, there must be.
There's one that's like a lifting champion.
I saw the bodybuilder one.
The bodybuilder one,
but
yeah.
That didn't look like him. Hey, you know. I'm white.
So in August of 2023, hey, that's my line.
Mm-hmm.
In August of 2023, Marcellus's case was picked up by the Innocence Project, who filed a lawsuit alleging that Missouri prosecutors have a record of dismissing DNA evidence that proves a convicted person's innocence.
Which they do.
And that goes back to what we were saying earlier, is when it's somebody trying to keep their job, fudging the numbers a little bit happens.
Paying testimony.
Yeah.
Feeding informants information so that they sound like they know more about the case than they do. All kinds of stuff.
And I know the ultimate goal is to solve cases and close cases to get justice. But since that's the only incentive, it drives shitty people to make bad decisions that result in people getting charged with shit that they didn't do.
Yes. And it's really hard for a jury to look at a guy in a prison uniform with a public defender talking about his innocence, right?
Yeah, and if you'd open up by saying he's already in prison for 50 years for other crimes, connecting the...
In 1998?
Yeah, it's not going to work
out. Had it been 97, different world.
97 was a great fucking year.
Con Air, Face Off, okay?
Starship Troopers, only Con Air, though. Face Off came out in 98.
God damn it.
So, in August of 2023, Marcellus's case was picked up by the Innocence Project, who filed a lawsuit.
So now they're suing the state, basically.
Yeah. And a St. Louis County prosecutor named Wesley Bell also began filing motions to vacate Williams' death sentence, citing ineffective assistance of counsel, the public defender, biased jury selection.
All white people.
And all white people except for one. They got to get the token one in there. And weakness in the investigation as the reasons for dismissing the case. And the thing is, by all accounts, it seems like he was right on all three.
Yeah, he would know because they're the ones that made all those mistakes, right?
Yeah.
So he's the one being like, hey, man, we fucked up. Attempts to save Marcellus Williams from the death penalty continued until August of 2024 when he accepted an Alford plea in one last attempt to avoid execution. An Alford plea is a deal where the convicted person agrees to sentencing but maintains their innocence. In return for accepting sentencing, the punishment is reduced. In this case, it would reduce Williams from a death sentence to life in prison. In the end, the Missouri Supreme Court rejected the Alford plea. And
what the fuck?
I don't know. They hated this guy, or they were trying hard to just shut him up, close the door on all of the mistakes that they did used to make and they're trying to not make moving forward. And he's the last kind of reminder of all the fucked up things they did, right? Yeah. In the end, the Missouri Supreme Court rejected the Alford plea and Williams' execution remained scheduled. Additional appeals were made in the following weeks, all of which were rejected. At 6 p.m. on September 24th, 2024, Marcellus Williams was put to death by lethal injection. For his last meal, he was served tater tots and fried chicken. The last words he spoke...
Fuck yeah.
I know, right?
That sounds bomb right now. I'm fucking hungry.
Last meal, no fucking question. Ranch, honey mustard, let's fucking... the last words he spoke before his execution were, "All praise be to Allah in every situation."
Damn.
So yeah,
that was yesterday, and I think
up
until the last second, people were trying to get the governor, trying to get a stay, trying to do all these things.
Yeah.
And I guess now we can kind of
shit, dude.
Talk about what do you think, bud?
I don't think he did it.
You don't think he did
I mean, it's the same like all the cases we do. It's like there's just not enough evidence to prove he did it.
Right. So even if he did, justice has to be.
It just seems shady, yeah.
It seems shady, right?
Yeah.
And to me, it's just because we do this show so much, you think about things like I said, holding up a, you know, fast food place at gunpoint, probably getting a couple nuggies and tots and cash. Last thing before he went in, holding up a donut shop, getting some cash in a bag and a couple donuts. That was his thing.
That's just a casual Saturday for him.
Why?
All right, that's his day job.
The idea that someone that does that kind of stuff gets some donuts on the way out, can mastermind a staking out a gated community, taking a bus to the location, breaking into this person's house, taking their knife from their kitchen and stabbing 40 times. 40 times is someone that knows you. Yeah, 40 times sure. Is yeah. Not like, oh, whoops, this lady just came up on me. Like, it's not, if you just go, like I said, his
and left
prior,
it in there at the end.
Yes, yeah. His prior arrests and rap sheet, I would think, are more of evidence than anything of like, this is not, he has a gun. He's gotten money in other ways and
never
gotten away
anybody.
With it. Never stabbed anybody.
Yeah. Does he have any violent history stuff, like physical violence?
I mean, armed robbery.
Armed
battery,
robbery,
things like that.
Not hurting anyone, but using a gun to scare people and get cash.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But doesn't have, you're right, any history, I don't think, of stabbing people, shooting people, anything like that.
In terms of violent crimes, it was the armed robbery that was the most. I think he had some battery charges or something along those lines also.
Put her straight sometimes.
I'd like to hear the evidence in that case too. You know,
part of a good marriage from my experience.
But I have a question though. What about the other person that was stabbed to death in the same way? Did they ever find who did that?
So
no connections between the two aside from the, like, the modus operandi, I guess you could say.
She was a different case in that
around the
same time, but friends had there was no force entry in that case, and friends had noticed bruises and she was losing weight and I think abused at home. If I were to guess on that one, probably the husband boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And again, no force entry, so it was someone that was already in there or knew her.
If it was a gated community, the door was probably open, you know.
It wasn't.
Oh.
Bob actually showed me this in St. Louis, where the university area or whatever, I guess, that they were from, there's like one gated community that's super nice, and literally the next street can be like ghetto. Sorry, I don't know how else to, but do you know what I mean? Like,
That's how it was with
right next to each other. So things like this can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how it is in New Orleans or Chicago.
Yeah, it was the same situation with Felicia Gale. They had a really, really nice gay community.
So she's in university area.
Yeah, and where that other murder went down, it was like 2.5 or 3 miles away and totally poverty stricken. It was, you know, the rough part.
At the same time or like how far apart?
3 weeks earlier.
In this case, I needed to know how they ruled out the husband. I need to know how they...
Yeah, where's the proof?
He is a doctor, so they probably had him, you know... Clocked
help get rid of the
and
evidence
they
and stuff.
Yeah,
saw him.
Rich friends.
There's lots of people that saw him, right?
Yeah, that would be my guess. If they ruled him out fast enough that like he never
really
even really became a suspect. So according to his story, he was at work up until the point that he left to go home and find his wife. Mm. So there was probably coworkers were vouching for him or corroborating his alibi.
So he was at work until he went home and stabbed his wife to death?
He couldn't have done it before he got home. Yeah. That'd be crazy.
No, I think it was like time of death.
He's a doctor. He knows how to make it look like she died earlier.
Like Jesse was saying, the brutality doesn't seem... So they found her on the floor in front of the stairwell, but the blood started on like the third or fourth step up the stairs. So it was like, as she's coming down the stairs, just got out of the shower, she's wearing a purple overshirt and walking down the stairs. As she was coming down the stairs, that's when she was attacked. And from my understanding, when home invasions go wrong and somebody does die from it, it's sort of like walking up on a bear. You startle the bear and you get attacked. You startle them and they attack to stop you from screaming or running away or
anything. Yeah, but this guy is like an entrepreneur in the world of burglary. He wouldn't be scared.
I think it's important to note too, she was really small.
Yeah,
she
five
was
foot,
like
5 foot one.
5'1".
Yeah, you could just hit her.
So an inch shorter than me.
You could.
Or you could like, hey, what's up? I'm stealing shit. Don't talk to me.
Run out. He heard her in the shower. Do you know what I mean? Like, run out. Don't run to get a knife. Anyway, it just is not his.
The attack happening, like starting on the stairwell, that would mean that, like, whoever did it would have had to have gone and gotten the knife from the kitchen before she was even getting out of the shower. There's some aspects of it seem premeditated.
Run away. Yes.
Yeah.
So a lot of people fucked up in this. Again, I don't know. I don't know if he did, right?
Yeah, he could have done
it. I don't love that he had the laptop. And anyone that's had anything stolen from them, right? Anyone?
Joel had a laptop stolen.
I've had a laptop stolen.
Same. I've had a laptop stolen, car stolen, stuff like that, purses, whatever.
I had my trunk. And
you should get rid of it when you steal something, though. That's the other thing. Why would he keep it? You sell that shit, you pawn it or whatever.
Well, that's what he did. It is confirmed that he did trade it to this guy. I think his name was Ruben something. Or
Ruben.
He lives in Missouri.
You could have stopped this guy from being executed. Ah, well, have a beer. Don't worry about it.
What's done is done, you know.
Yeah. So the guy that he sold the laptop to. Or traded the laptop for drugs, whatever, said that he got it from Marcellus, right? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, him having some of the shit from there.
I don't like
sucks.
That. Yeah. Because to me, like when you have something stolen, there's something that happens inside of you that you're like, I want to kill this person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not a violent, aggressive, whatever, you're like, if I saw them right now.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now with my laptop, I would stab them 40 times, right?
Yeah.
It passes. It passes. But like, why do you have the fucking laptop, bro? Why? This lady's house in a gated community.
He didn't know it was stolen.
Because Laura did it?
Girlfriend.
Well, no, I think that he knew full well that he was...
Oh, he doesn't care if it's stolen. He steals all the time.
My theory is that Laura Asaro is involved in it somehow.
More than she's saying she is.
Yeah, I think she definitely knows more than... I mean, it might be that Henry Cole was involved with it somehow, too, considering the fact that they knew each other without realizing that him
and
Marcellus were.
If you're a woman
related.
And you rob a place and get startled, no, you're definitely stabbing someone 40 times.
It was
women
male,
freak out.
It was male DNA. It was male DNA. So either she knew the person, you know what I mean? Like
it
told him where to go. It wasn't her, but she knew way, way too much. Anyways, the point of it is we don't know if he's innocent, if he was innocent. But we know that there was enough questions of innocence that prosecution did not meet burden of proof ever. Not in the first trial, not in the appeal, not in anything, which is their job. So they did not prove to me or anyone else that he is 100% the person that did it.
Yeah.
And I was telling you earlier, there's about 20 people I can think of right now that I'd be cool with them being put to death, that are crimes that they've done, that we've reported on, that are serving life right now, right?
Yeah.
Before this guy.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
There's something else going on here. That's what's pissing people off. That's what was so sad about it, is that we don't know if he's innocent, but like,
there's
it's
some shady
all
cop shit or
up.
Some shady government shit or something behind it that. They'd rather just kill somebody.
I believe
than
it
get
was
hot.
Them closing a chapter on like, we know we did fucked up shit back in the day. We've got to just like get rid of this last person and be better moving forward. Honestly,
out of all the situations, that's the one that makes the most sense. At least on the side of the state, on the side of the prosecution, is just
and Parsons
push it through,
I
get
think,
him out of here. Once yes. he's dead, we don't have to worry about this anymore.
Parsons, I think, is Republican, very right. Governor, right? So I'm sure there's some people that would make them happy, right? Which
oh,
is
absolutely.
What he's trying
absolutely.
To do, make constituents happy, be elected again, whatever it may be.
I don't know anybody that would like take the time to look this shit up and be like, yeah, he's guilty for sure, 100%, without any doubt. Like, there's a doubt.
Right.
That's the thing.
But
there's,
if you don't look
doubt.
It up, I will say if you don't look it up, and you just read like the sound bites of he was armed robbery. He was in there for 50 years already. He had the laptop, right? If I told you only a couple things.
You're like, oh, yeah, he probably did it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
So it's only after going into it, which they don't want you to do, is that you go, hey, man, you can't fucking do that.
This doesn't make
you
any
can't
fucking
do
sense.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, actually, we can. And we're like, what?
We can, and actually, we already
did. We can, watch and by this. The way,
no takesies, backsies.
He's dead. So, it's fucking crazy. A lot of people, again, are up in arms, and I don't know. What do you... That's all we're doing. We're laying it out. Yep. We're just laying it out there. Should you be put to death on the testimony of two fucking crackheads? I don't know. No evidence.
I submit that you can't.
Two crackheads and a laptop will send you to fucking the gas chamber, right?
Yep. Well, lethal injection.
Wait, why don't they do the gas chamber anymore?
I think it was too yucky for the people watching.
I don't know.
Too yucky? Mm-hmm.
I heard lethal injection gets a little fucking dicey.
I think they should do it live. I think you should be able to watch it.
The thing is, they can't move during,
not live, but
during lethal injection, you can't move. They give a paralytic to the body, so it doesn't matter what you're going through. You're not going to be able to act out, so it looks more peaceful.
But you can still think?
From what I've heard, it's more painful.
Oh, God.
But it doesn't look as creepy.
It doesn't look as
creepy. It's not about them. It's about us. And how we feel about we kill somebody.
Duh.
God. Well, the people watching.
You should be able to choose. Like, how do you want to go? Here's your options.
In some places,
shot to the head.
I would go firing squad.
There are some states that still offer the firing squad. Yep. I think Utah was the last state to use the firing squad, and it was chosen by the person being put to death.
I would request death by samurai style. Like, do it to myself with the blade.
That would be like the... You might as well ask him to set you on fire.
Let me do it in a cool way. And also let me wear a fucking samurai outfit when I do it. That'd be sick.
All right. So I guess we'll go around. How would you want to die and your last meal?
Ooh, last meal, straight up thin crust pizza. Probably a margarita or something like that.
Okay.
A lot of it, though, because I want to make, like, pizza fucks up my stomach, so I want to make sure to leave a little present for the executioner once I'm done.
Shit your fucking brains out, yep.
As far as a way to go, does it have to be a way that they offer as execution?
I'd say let's stick to that. So there's hanging, firing squad, gas chamber, lethal injection, electric chair.
That's a toughie. I think I'd go with the gas chamber.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you kind of get like a little bit loopy?
That's what I was going to say. There's going to be like a little point. Any type of drug is a poison, but with the right dosage, it's fun. So there's
like,
going to be a certain point while you're getting gas where you're like, hey, this isn't so bad.
Yep. And then bye-bye.
But what if you could pick anything you wanted?
Anything I want at all?
Yeah. Like reasonably.
Reasonably. Oh, just suffocated with nitrogen.
Okay. Like that shit they have in Sweden or whatever? That you guys were talking about on RPR?
Yeah, the suicide pod.
Suicide pod.
Yeah, it's undetectable. You don't feel any different. You just fall asleep. And suffocate.
Lame.
Sorry.
What about you, Jesse? Sorry. I already said mine.
You said what? Samurai?
Death as a samurai, yeah.
What about the real one? Oh, whatever.
Whatever the
full costume.
Electric chair.
I would do firing squad, badass, and instant.
It is.
My last meal would be a bologna sandwich, Wonder Bread, Best Foods mayonnaise, and a fettuccine alfredo
from
Olive Garden.
So
a little bottle of Prisoner. They don't do wine, huh?
No, I don't think you could do that. You
can have liquor at the end.
Sneaky
some
Pruno. You know, it's funny because your last meal that you just described is probably what most people eat in prison on a daily basis.
Really?
Yeah. Like bologna sandwiches? Hell yeah.
But she's a dirtbag at heart, yeah.
But like old, you know what I mean? Just childhood. You know what? I'll switch out the fettuccine alfredo for Kraft mac and cheese with one more tablespoon butter.
Oh.
than you normally put in.
Replace all the milk with butter, too.
Yeah.
That's how the Canadians make it. Yeah.
And firing squad, no question, to be fucking badass and instant.
However I go, I just want to make sure that like my last meal is going to be something dairy based. Like I'm going to be,
dude. If I had a dairy based,
I'm going to be spackling exit. The walls as soon as I go.
Yeah, I was going to say if I had a dairy based exit, I'd probably prolapse.
Oh!
I stole it!
Both of you guys, I'm trying not to prolapse with my last meal, and you guys are like, fuck you, guards. I'm walking. Dead man walking with a prolapse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're like, fuck all you guys. You're going to have to deal with this. Try sitting me down.
Yeah, put me in the electric chair with this dangling out my ass.
Put me in the electric chair with this. Can't do it.
Cleaning up the snail trail all the way from my cell to the execution chamber.
My last meal would be my own prolapse.
The most serious, like, fucked up show ever with that.
Because we're fucked.
It's the best prolapse I've done, by the way.
No, I stole it, though, which is inappropriate.
Nope. It's okay. You can always take it.
You guys didn't ask me what my last meal would be.
I think we did.
Didn't.
Okay, what is it?
My prolapse.
Yeah.